Blog Talk Radio.
Morning, everybody. This is Larry Jacobs, and welcome to our August 21st, 2012 edition of Education Talk Radio. And we're thrilled to have you with us today. We appreciate you tuning in, be it live on August 21st or on the archives, where a lot of people do listen. You can find any show that we've ever done over at our website, including this one, almost as soon as we're done, over at www.education-talkradio.org, education-talkradio.org. And all of our shows are over there, archives, future schedule, et cetera, some interesting education news. And also we do tweet. You can check in with us at EduTalkRadio. At EduTalkRadio is the tweet handle. And we've got a great show today about STEM education. I'm going to bring our guests from the Christopher Columbus Awards on in just a second. I want to thank the people who told me about the Christopher Columbus Awards, my good friends over at MMS Education. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about them. MMS Education has helped for-profit and not-for-profit organizations make a difference in schools. For over 35 years, MMS has helped corporate foundations, associations, government agencies promote, implement, and track their school-based outreach programs. Programs like Thinkfinity, Fuel Up to Play 60, Be the Beat, and, of course, today's guest, the Christopher Columbus Awards. The MMS understands the challenges that come with offering a free program to schools when the cost is someone's time, and they can help you connect with your audience and help them enroll in your program. They can drive utilization and support those who participate and help you track and measure your outreach efforts. MMS will create a customized solution for any association or not-for-profit, et cetera, interested, and provide the people, management, and the know-how to get it done, and they can do that because they know how to get it done. So please, to learn more, go visit them. They're good friends of mine, mmseducation.com, or you can call Kelly Stewart at 800-523-5948, but I bet you didn't write down that number, so let me give you the website again, www.mmseducation.com. Great for companies marketing into the field, and also for all the varied associations, corporate foundations, awards, et cetera, like today's Christopher Columbus Awards. So thank you, Kelly and Stephanie and Susan and everybody over at MMS for bringing this to my attention today, and I'm happy we can do this. I have as our guests, and they're on right now, I'm going to bring them on, introduce them, and we'll have them say hello. Our guests today are Dr. Maria Lombardo. Hi, Maria.
Good morning. How are you today?
I'm fine. How are you?
Pretty well, thank you.
That's good. You're in Boston, right?
Yes. Overcast,
yeah.
Boston.
I know. I'm in Maine.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, okay. Dr. Maria Lombardo is the project coordinator for the Spotlight Teacher Training Project, which actually we could learn about that, and the ESL, English as Second Language Licensure Coordinator at the University of Massachusetts, Boston. And for today's show, it's important to know that she is the chair of the Christopher Columbus Fellowship Foundation, which is sponsor of the Christopher Columbus Awards, which is this wonderful STEM ed program for middle school, which we're going to talk about today. And also on the phone, we have Mr. John Hood. John, are you there?
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
That's good. And you are the principal of the Maryland Elementary School in Bexley, Ohio, right?
Right. I'm a principal at the elementary school, but a former science teacher from 7th and 8th grade, so I've had an opportunity to participate with Christopher Columbus and looking forward to the conversation today.
The real Christopher Columbus or the awards?
the awards, only the awards program. I am getting older, but I'm not quite that point.
Yeah, but not that old. The 1492 has nothing to do with it, for goodness sakes. Okay? And first of all, before I say anything, where do you have to put Bexley, Ohio on the map for folks?
Bexley's right smack in the middle of Columbus, Ohio.
Oh, what else?
Right in the middle of the state, home of the Buckeyes.
Well, really, I had no idea. The Buckeyes are in Columbus?
You haven't heard of the Ohio State Buckeyes?
No, never in my life. Never heard of them. They have a football team?
We're hoping it's a good one.
I hope so, too. I hope so, too. Okay? And now, let me explain. The Christopher Columbus – oh, by the way, John, what's the name of your school team at Maryland Elementary? Is there a school team, even though it's elementary?
No, we've actually had a number of teams throughout Bexley that have participated in the Christopher Columbus Awards program, and each of them.
No,
has
I don't mean that.
Emphasis.
I mean your sports team, your school team.
Oh, we're the Lions. We're the Bexley Lions. So,
go Lions! I always like to do that. Make
oh,
sure
thank you.
Hear that, Larry?
We appreciate
says,
that.
Go Lions! All right, go Lions! All right. Now I'm going to start at the beginning here, okay? And Maria, I'm going to swing back to you again. Maria is the chair of the Christopher Columbus Fellowship Foundation, which is the sponsor of the Christopher Columbus Awards. First of all, you're based in Boston?
Yes, I work at the University of Massachusetts in Boston.
Okay, all right. So now tell me, okay? And you're ESL. My wife has a degree in ESL from University of New Hampshire.
Oh, wonderful. We need ESL teachers. Yes.
And she works down at WGBH now in their education department. Yeah.
Excellent.
Okay. Now, talk to me. Tell me what the Christopher Columbus Fellowship Foundation is, Maria, and give me a little more information about the foundation and its mission, just to put this all in perspective for folks.
Sure. I'll give you a little overview of the foundation, and then I think it'll explain a little bit of our programming.
Great.
The Christopher Columbus Fellowship Foundation was established by Congress in 1992 during the quincentenary. We had Frank Annunzio, who was a great proponent of establishing this foundation. And essentially, the foundation's mission is to encourage and support research, study, and labor designed to produce new discoveries in all fields of endeavor for the benefit of mankind. And essentially, we have a 13-member bipartisan board of trustees appointed by the President of the United States. We have an executive director, Judy, who's somewhere, and Ruth, and who assists her. And then we're served by the General Services Administration, and they've been a provider since 1993. And essentially, the original $7.6 million endowment came from the surcharges on the sale of the Columbus commemorative coins sold by the United States Mint. So really, the foundation provides opportunities for all Americans to think outside of the box. That's our main goal. And over the years, we have been fortunate to be able to form a public-private partnership with organizations such as the National Science Foundation, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, Augusta Westland of North America, the Xerox Corporation, Bayer Corporation, and the National Museum of Education.
I have to ask you before we go on. Where is the National Museum of Education? I never heard of that.
They're a group that are up in Ohio, and essentially what they do, they have a board of directors, and they encourage innovation as well.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. Very good. That's
and
so
then the American Farm Bureau I need to mention, too, because
please
that's
do.
And. So essentially, the foundation has four awards programs.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll very briefly address the programs, and then I'll bring us back to the Columbus Awards. I'll leave that one for last. So the first one would be the Life Science Awards, and we have we issue those to scientists, educators, and students. And this year, our Distinguished Life Science Award for $10,000 went to Dr. Daniel Colley of Georgia. And he's working in Africa to try to eradicate diseases such as schistosomiasis, which is transmitted by snails in water. So that's one. Then we have another award, which is the AgriScience Awards, and we show our appreciation for the food cycle. You know, how does food come to our supermarket? There are a lot of people who work in between there. We have research scientists, we have educators and students, and this year the $10,000 Distinguished Scientist Award went to Dr. Andrew Sharpley from Arkansas, and he has come up with methods to reduce nutrient loss from farms.
Nice.
Then we have a Homeland Security Award, and that we issued $25,000 along with Augusta Westland of North America. And essentially, this past year, Michael Sosong of California identified nuclear threats in cargo. So he came up with a device to identify anything in the shipments. So they're very exciting. And then the last one is the Christopher Columbus Awards, which we give to middle school students. And very briefly, and then, you know, I'll allow you to go on with your questions here. In the Christopher Columbus Awards were created in 1996 to address the findings from the Trends in International Mathematics and Science, the TIMSS survey, which showed that the U.S. was falling behind in STEM education. So as a result, you had the Bayer Foundation, the National Science Foundation, and the Christopher Columbus Fellowship Foundation worked together to develop a program for middle grade students.
Nice.
And they wanted to have a fun program, which was hands-on, and that would allow the students to learn about STEM and open up all the fields of science, technology, engineering, and math for them to consider in the future. And in fact, we find that many of our students that over the years have pursued a career in science. So that's a wonderful.
That's wonderful.
Yes. And,
that's wonderful because it's now 6 years old, right? So you can actually follow the kids.
It's since 1996, right. And,
96. Excuse me. I was thinking
96.
2006.
So it's, yeah,
forgive 60, me.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
about
15 years. Yeah.
Right.
Thank you, John.
Yep.
I
and
that's
important, though. We have mathematicians.
Well, it is. No, it is.
But I think the important thing to mention here is that, you know, President Obama, a strong proponent of STEM education, and, you know, and he has supported a lot of this this groundwork that's being laid out here. And then also I want to just briefly mention that we at UMass Boston received a grant from the U.S. Department of Education for $2 million to train teachers in STEM education.
That's
so,
wonderful.
You know, we're very proud of this effort and how it comes, you know, comes down to our level as well. So
that's great.
So those are the four programs in a nutshell. And if you want to, you know, ask us some questions on them, we'll welcome your questions.
Well, I want to specifically, and they're wonderful programs, please, okay? I want to specifically stay with the middle school, the Christopher Columbus Awards, okay? Now, John, you're principal of an elementary school in Bexley, Ohio, okay, the Maryland Elementary School. Now, it says elementary, but this is for middle school. How do you fit into this?
Well, our elementary program here in Bexley is kindergarten through sixth grade. And then prior to becoming an elementary principal, I was a middle school science teacher for grades 7 and 8 for almost 15 years. So the fact that we've got a sixth grade portion to our building here, that connects us to the program because the program right now services what we would label as middle school students. And if you look at the National Middle School Association, they label middle school as grades 4 through 9. The Christopher Columbus.
And by the way, they're headquartered in your backyard.
Right here and close by, right? They're just a golf ball hit away. And then and then the Christopher Columbus program is really focusing in on grades 6 through 8 and really trying to address what Dr. Lombardo just mentioned was this whole TIMSS survey, which was kind of shocking to us back in the early 90s to show that we were really falling away. And there was additional research that was saying, as an example, girls were really excited in science in elementary school, but by the time they got to middle school, that excitement started to fade away. And by the time they got to high school and beyond, there was just almost non-existent experience for women specifically choosing science as a career. So the one thing that I appreciate about the Christopher Columbus Awards program is that they decide, let's focus in right on those middle years where some of the science interest is starting to wane, and let's see what we can do to focus in on providing exciting programs that will help, you know, increase
John,
that interest.
We should mention that 60% of the participants are females, which is very significant, and 25% are minority students.
Yeah, they've had a great opportunity to draw in some of the subcategories that we're really interested in increasing. One of the things I really appreciate about the program, too, is that it also has this component that has a very strong community-based piece where you're developing partnerships in the community, and then it also has a unique component that I appreciated as a science teacher that was getting away from sort of the classic science fair where you've got one kid that's working hard on a project that oftentimes is pushed by an outside interest from a parent or from a connection that they have with an adult. This one focuses in on small groups of 3 to 4 students, and it's very student-generated. It's very student-driven, and it gives us the opportunity to take learning that's taking place in the classroom and put it into a collaborative setting that then goes out in the community and has an impact with the community as well.
It really does. And speaking of women, we lost, of course, Sally Ride a month or so ago, and mm-hmm. she even had a company, Sally Ride Science. She was a great advocate of females in the sciences. And what, girl scientists? Oh, come now. That's ridiculous.
Right.
Okay.
Well, actually, if you go back, if I just go back to when I was first teaching, you could walk across any classroom in America, and if you just even just looked at the posters that were hanging on the wall, you didn't see females represented. You didn't see African Americans represented. You saw a white guy with crazy hair and a lab coat, you know, hanging on the wall. So the fact that we're really focusing in on trying
movie.
To see to have every child be able to see themselves as being successful in this area is really exciting to me.
Well, it is, and I can see future movie posters where the mad scientist is a black female, which hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, that'd be great. That'd be awesome.
Will, when that comes to equality, that will be equality when Dr. Moreau on the island of Dr. Moreau is a black female.
I like that.
It's a thought. It's a remake, and who knows? I might get it produced one of these days, for goodness sakes. That male voice you're hearing is John Hood, who's the principal of the Maryland Elementary School in Bexley, Ohio, very, very involved in the Christopher Columbus Awards. And by the way, you can learn more easily at ChristopherColumbusAwards.com. The female voice that you're hearing is Dr. Maria Lombardo from the University of Massachusetts. She's chair of the Christopher Columbus Fellowship Foundation, which sponsors these wonderful awards for middle school students, getting them involved in STEM. So I don't know which one of you wants to answer, and I'll just throw the question out there. Okay, this is a national program. It's community-based, et cetera. It's project-oriented. Talk to me about how it fits into the curriculum and all the new standards and supports STEM learning, which I think is really important for our audience of professional educators.
Well, I'll start a little bit, and John can elaborate. I think the significance of this program is that it, and let's describe it first of all. We would have a coach who is a science teacher, and then they essentially work with 3 to 4 students. But at the same time, they can involve their entire classroom. And the purpose of this, they can set their objectives according to the Common Core, which, as you know, are national standards that have been adopted. And essentially, they can, you know, really work into the 21st century skills, which are, you know, discovery and the ability to think and the ability to solve problems. And that's essentially what the purpose of all of this is, that students identify a problem in the community and they use the scientific approach in order to come out with a solution. And then when they do this, we essentially have many participants. We've had 19,000 who actually completed projects. And we've given about $650,000 in monetary awards. And, and essentially we're always, of course, looking for other sponsors to help us so that we can increase the funds for our students because we have so many applicants. And essentially you have about 30 semifinalist teams that are selected. And then from those we have 6 finalist teams that actually have an all-expense-paid trip to the National Championship Week in Walt Disney World. Yeah, and then the 2 finalist teams, we have a nice, wonderful dinner for them, win a gold medal and $2,000 in cash prize. And I may also add that during their week in Disney, they actually get to see the behind-the-scenes operations, how
That's
the
cool
engineers,
stuff.
The architects work together in order to produce the rides. So they really have like a hands-on experience during that entire week. And maybe John can elaborate on the process that he went through because he's been a participant.
Yeah,
John, I have to ask you, have you been a winner?
We've been very fortunate in Bexley. We've had 3 teams in Bexley that have made it to the final championship week down in Florida and have come out as top award-winning teams. And it's been just a dynamic experience for us in terms of just truly impacting children's lives in a very positive way. It's been awesome. Maybe a couple of things that I would emphasize as well, in addition to what Dr. Lombardo has just said, is one, it does connect directly to what we're doing as teachers in education. We've got a Common Core that's coming to the United States right now that's putting basically everybody in kind of a similar standards kind of perspective where we're all, instead of depending on where you were growing up geographically, you might have different educational experiences. This Common Core is going to be putting us all kind of on the same playing field. And then it's the Common Core is asking teachers to, instead of sort of going a mile wide and an inch deep, they're asking teachers to really look at providing rigorous learning opportunities for children. And not just rigorous, but learning opportunities that draw connections between subjects and that are fully integrating subjects. and then directly connecting to the real world with applications that make sense to kids. Because the reality is, once we grow up and get out of school, we don't have these separate components of science over here and math over here and language arts over here, but we're walking through life literally on a daily basis just solving problems. And so they want to present learning in that way. And the Christopher Columbus Awards program is this awesome opportunity to take these standards that have now been designed for us, and then how do you effectively communicate that through instruction, and how do you effectively provide a learning opportunity for children? Christopher Columbus Awards program is just like this perfect avenue in order to do that. And in addition to that, I also want to mention that it doesn't have to actually be through a science curriculum. You can also have outside organizations. Maybe there's a Boy Scout troop that wants to put together a team where you have an adult leader that's helping with that.
Great point.
Or maybe there's just a club that's meeting together outside for kids that are just doing some enrichment and some outside extended learning kind of opportunities. There's great opportunities for anybody that has an interest in these kinds of areas to just provide students the chance for this just enriching, get your hands dirty, roll your sleeves up, and just be involved in some really meaningful investigation.
It's really cool stuff. I have to correct one thing I said earlier, John. We were talking about the National Middle School Association. That's no longer the name. It's the It's the Association for Mid-Level Education, AMLE. If people want to check that out.
Yeah, they have changed it recently.
Yeah. And the reason is, of course, exactly what you said. Mid-level education can occur in an elementary school like at Maryland, where they consider it fourth grade on up. Okay?
Right.
It can occur in a junior high. So the name middle school became kind of nebulous, so they changed it to AMLE, mid-level education.
Yeah.
And I would be remiss, and I would have Will and April over there screaming and yelling at me if I didn't make that correction.
That's good.
And they, by the way, are frequent guests on our show, and we're putting together a couple of dates for them literally as we speak today. Okay? I have to ask, and I'll ask either one of you, and again, let me just reintroduce you here in case people just tuned in. Dr. Maria Lombardo, besides many other things, she's a professor at the University of UMass Boston, and chair of the Christopher Columbus Fellowship Foundation. We're talking about their Christopher Columbus Awards. And Mr. John Hood, who is the principal and an active participant in the awards at the Maryland Elementary School in Bexley, Ohio. Why'd they name it the Maryland Elementary School? I have to ask that question, John. It's been driving
me. It's the name of the street that we're on. So it's not a particular affinity to the East Coast or anything here.
Okay.
Name of our street.
And one other question. Your brother is not Robin, who robs from the rich and gives to the poor?
Absolutely not, although I'd be happy to claim that.
You don't, like, live in a forest or anything like that? I'm just trying to clear this up for our Okay. Just checking. I don't want anybody to think that I don't ask the hard questions here, for goodness sake. Okay? Maryland. I meant Maria. Great. Thanks, John.
Oh.
Maryland Elementary School. Thanks a lot. Okay?
Yeah.
Maria. Okay? Maria or John? And John, actually, you can just start here, and then I'll let Maria do it. Your teams went off to the final week in Orlando at Walt Disney World. What was their project? Was the project assigned everybody's doing the same thing, or does every team decide on the project? So, John, I'll let
you start there
and talk about yours.
Yeah, I mean, one of the really unique aspects of this program is that it is based in project-based learning. And project-based learning is nothing new to the United States. Elementary teachers have done it well for years, but we're starting to see now with some legislation that's coming our way that the assessments that are going to be even approaching our high school now are going to be very based in project-based learning, which is more or less providing a question out there that students need to investigate. They need to be involved in decision-making. They need to reflect on the data that they're collecting and then make some kind of application. But the thing that has changed, we've been doing project-based learning for quite a while, but the thing that has really changed that the Christopher Columbus program, Awards program does so well is that now the focus really is on having it being a student-driven experience as opposed to a teacher-driven experience.
Nice.
So now with this program and with where we're going in the nation right now, it's becoming the teacher as a facilitator and then the students actually driving kind of where this project goes. So the teacher makes sure that standards are being met and that we're kind of going in the general direction we need to go. But what actually happens in terms of this investigation and where do you go with it is very driven by students. So if you want, I mean, I can give you just a perfect example from my own experience.
Sure.
I had to, in seventh grade, had to address some environmental science standards that were around solid waste. What do you do with your trash when you throw it away, and what happens to it environmentally? And part of that included, what do we do with our yard waste? And so as part of this program that we're doing at school, we went out to visit a composting facility that had this large pile of ground-up yard waste, sticks and leaves, just in this big, huge pile that was about 1,000 feet long and maybe 60 feet high, and I had the students climb up on top of this pile, and then I had about a 4-foot-long thermometer. It was in November. It was about 35 degrees outside, and I had this 4-foot-long thermometer, and we shoved this 4-foot-long thermometer into this pile, and it was about 180 degrees, just 4 feet below our feet. And one of the students there, his name was Danny.
180?
Almost 180 degrees, just 4 feet below our feet.
Oh, my Lord.
And so one of the students, Danny, just asked this question. He said, wow, you know what, or he just had this sort of thought, what a waste. There's all this heat that's being generated here, but it's just being lost. And so I just received some information from the Christopher Columbus Awards program. I said, Danny, here's what I want you to do. I want you to put two or three kids together into a team, and then let's investigate that. Let's just talk about that and see, you know, does it take a 1,000-foot pile to do it, or can you do it with a smaller pile? And we just started working through these questions around it, and the students drove the whole thing, and we ended up building a small pile about the size of a Volkswagen here at our school. And to just prove how hot this small pile of yard waste was, we put a copper tubing through it and ran water through this pile. And when you opened up the spigot on the other end of the pile, it was so hot that you could actually make hot chocolate out of it. And so they just investigated this. And then we integrated all this learning together.
Let me just clear this up. Did they make hot chocolate with it?
Well, they did make hot chocolate with the water that came out of this pile. But what they had to do, what they found out, though, was that you had to have all the right ingredients in this pile to get it that hot. So if you just take a log and grind it up, it doesn't get that hot. And they had to find out you have to throw grass clippings in and leaves in. And once you had all the balance of nutrients and the chemicals, it really started cooking. And they wrote a paper on it through their language arts teachers and integrated it in that way. They talked about the impact of human existence on society through their social studies and how humans have been impacting the environment. We did this whole math thing with graphing calculators where we graphed out all of our data. You know, so it was this awesome integration of learning. So you didn't have kids sitting and they're going, why in the world am I using a graphing calculator? When will I ever use a graphing calculator in life? You know, and it was one of those things where they just saw this true meaning of everything that they were doing. In addition, then, to they developed relationships with Ohio State University in their research and through Kurtz Brothers Composting and through all these different community organizations. And so they felt like they were a partnership in the community through this whole process as well. And then that's what got them to the top 30 in the nation through Christopher Columbus Awards, and then they got voted into Florida and so forth. So, and then I want to emphasize, too, something that Dr. Lombardo said. The competition down at the Florida when we got to Disney was really the lightest part of the whole experience. The main experience was getting this opportunity to meet these Disney engineers. So they've got this awesome ride down at Disney called Soarin'. And the person that built this ride came in and talked about sitting on their living room floor with their Kinect kit and how they built this auditorium that raised up and became this simulated paraglider kind of experience. And kids just sat in the room going, oh, my gosh, I could do that. I could sit on my floor with Kinect. And they suddenly just saw themselves becoming engineers. And it became a reality then, like, hey, I can do this. What Dr. Lombardo was describing, you know, there's been 19,000 students that have participated in the program, but there's been far more. I mean, those folks actually entered the program with finished products. There's been far more than that that have actually been involved with the program, and all those kids come away from this experience going, you know what, I can do this. I see application in this. I can see myself doing this for a living. It's really, up here in Bexley, it's just had dynamic impact on families' lives and children's lives.
Wonderful. Go ahead, Maria.
I was just going to say, in addition to this wonderful recap of what the program really looks like, he did an excellent job. I just want to mention that we've had teams, about 6 to 8 teams, who have gone on to obtain U.S. patents for their projects, which
Get
is
out
wonderful.
Of here.
Yeah.
Wow.
And
wow.
You know what? And they've they've been recognized in the science fair that's conducted at the White House. Students have been invited to participate. I escorted a group this past year, and they were the River Rangers from South Carolina, And essentially what they came up with was a method to clear the waterways. Because of the economy, people were abandoning boats in the waterways. So essentially, as you know, they pour out, you know, gasoline, oil, and pollute the waterways. And they came up with a system, you know, through computers and working with the state. It was just an incredibly intricate program to help resolve a problem. And essentially,
these are mid-level kids.
Yes.
Grades 4 through
9. And I
can
mention a couple of the patents if you want to hear. I mean, I don't know what our time looks like, but
you got about, we got about 5 minutes left, okay? And I want to say something. Let me just say something
ahead,
here.
Please.
I'm on your winning team, the website, ChristopherColumbusAwards.com, okay? And I just want to say something here. In 2012, there were two gold medal award-winning teams. I want to just give them a little bit of credit here. The Pineland, this is a team name, the Pinelands Echo Scienteers, coach was Mr. Stephen Kubricki, and good friends of mine are the NCEA, the National Catholic Educational Association. This is an important point to make. They're from All Saints Regional Catholic School in Manahawkin, New Jersey, okay? And I just want to, I would like to make the point, you know, that there's some great stuff going on in not only in public schools, but the Catholic schools, Christian schools, et cetera. And all those schools are invited to participate in this sort of thing. The thing they did, okay, they had the problem with third world countries' dependencies on wood as a primary source of fuel. And they came up with a low-cost briquette press that utilizes bio-waste products as a new source of cooking fuel. These are mid-level education kids. The other one, like John was just saying with his teams, this is amazing. This gang is from right around you, Gahanna, Ohio. That's right near you, isn't it, John?
Yeah, right next door.
Yeah. Columbus Academy. Haruna Kofer is the coach. They created the Incredivayor, okay? Which, the problem was dangerous bacteria growing on grocery store conveyor belts, go figure, that can contaminate our food. And the Incredivayor, which this is so, it's so obvious when you read it, a checkout belt for supermarkets made of hydrophobic Teflon-coated glass fiber fabric that is continuously sanitized. Let me ask you a question. Have they made millions from this thing now? Can I invest in the Incredivayor?
Supermarkets in Ohio are using this method now.
Unbelievable.
It's being piloted, yeah. They actually went to a supermarket. And, you know, and had they modeled it out and tested this process.
There's a
so
number one like that. There's a group in Florida that were tripping over their book bags and their school bus. And so they just designed this simple backpack rack that you put on your school bus seats. And it's had a dynamic impact all across Florida.
Right.
And
I think they're also
one of our patent winners.
Yes, they were patent winners. And, you know, we've had – okay.
This is just, this is just great stuff is all I can tell you. This is just great stuff. Okay, now, when just real quick, we only have a few minutes left. When should schools start to apply to be involved in the Christopher Columbus Awards? Maria?
Well, they should go on our website, and we have Stephanie Hallman, who works very hard with this, and Judith Schellenberger, and they establish all of the dates and, you know, and the entire process so they can be contacted directly. And they should start immediately when the school year begins because it's a year-long process pretty much.
Great.
And
okay. And, John,
when we honor the students.
Sorry. So it's a year-long process. They should start doing it now, and June is when you honor the students.
Yes.
Okay. And by the way, congrats again to All Saints Regional Catholic in Manahawkin and to Columbus Academy in Gahanna, Ohio, who must set up a heavy competition with you, huh, John?
It was very hard to judge.
I mean, it's so fun to see the projects that are coming in because one of the things I love about it is that they're very student-generated. And it's just great to see everybody being recognized for things that are actually meaningful to their own communities.
And I think this is great stuff. That's all I can say. I'm sorry, guys. I got to go. You were wonderful. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for the invite.
Thank you for having us. Really, we
Maria,
appreciate
you're
it.
Always welcome.
On
John,
behalf
have
of the
a
foundation.
Great year with the Lions.
Thank you very much.
Okay, when does school start, by the way?
We're back in session. We started August 15.
We start the first week of September.
Well, that's college, though, right?
Yes, the university, right?
Yeah, well, they'll be off in the next 4 weeks for some holiday or something. I know college. My kids went.
Right. Right.
We were always surprised when they had classes as opposed to when they didn't. Okay?
Yeah.
Back at the ground. And Maria should get in touch with my wife, Carolyn, over at the WGBH.
I would love to. Please send me information. We'd love to connect.
I will send it to you. She works
if she's interested in our training, please.
Well, she'd love it because she does all the work with STEM.
Because that's what we're going to be doing, more of the STEM education, and we're going to try to do STEM in action. That's what we want to make it alive for the teachers, and also to show this model that integrates the, you have the public school, the Catholic schools, as you mentioned, the private schools, and then
that's
also
wonderful.
The model with the university, which is, you know, and then corporations. That's the model, really, for the future.
Well, we're going to take care of this, and I'm going to send you Carolyn's contact info, and I'll carbon her on it.
Absolutely, thank you.
Okay. Thank you both. Have a good Ohio day. Go Buckeyes. And thank you, Maria.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
You too. Okay. Thank you, John and Maria. Okay. Christopher Columbus Awards, ChristopherColumbusAwards.com, the Incredivayor. What a hell of an idea. I can't believe that thing. Sanitizes the food belt through the kids made this up as it goes through the, as you're paying for your groceries. Unbelievable. MMS Education told me about all this, okay? They mentioned Stephanie Holman. Thanks, Steph, for setting all this up. Let's talk about them for a second. MMS Education is a great company out of Bucks County, Pennsylvania. It has helped for-profit and not-for-profit organizations make a difference in schools for over 35 years. They've helped corporate foundations like this and associations, government agencies, promote, implement, and track their school-based outreach programs. Programs like Thinkfinity and Fuel Up to Play 60 and Be the Best and obviously the Christopher Columbus Awards. They understand the challenges over at MMS that come with offering a free program in schools when the cost is someone's time, and they can help you connect with your audience and drive utilization and support those who participate and help you track and measure your outreach efforts, growth, et cetera, et cetera. Please check it out. I'm not even going to give you the phone number. I'm going to give you the website, which is mmseducation.com, mmseducation.com. Wonderful company, again, over in New Hope, Pennsylvania. Thank you for helping me put this together, Stephanie and Kelly and Susan. Okay, thank you, Maria Lombardo over at UMass. Thank you, John, in Bexley, Ohio, ChristopherColumbusAwards.com. Okay, and again, MMS, mmseducation.com. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Education Talk Radio. We really love it. Great show. Really incredible stuff. Check it out. We'll have it on our website, education-talkradio.org, in just a couple of minutes. Have a great day.